Good morning, Brother Steve, again on the Gospel of John. This time we're looking at chapter 15. Chapter 15 is a very precious, very valuable portion of Scripture here. And just like to encourage you to open your Bibles and to read it for yourself and study it out. In these 10, 15 minutes here, I can only but scratch the surface of what's in these in this Scripture here. There's a lot of real deep, even whole books have been written on this portion of Scripture, and I would encourage you just to search it out. It's a very important part. It talks about Jesus as the vine, and we are the branches. So I'm going to start out with verse 1 through 5. Says, I am the true vine. My Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you, as a branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing. You know, there's a lot of people that would like to say that, well, it's all about the heart. It's not about our works or our fruit. It's just about what's in our heart. But I would like to suggest to you this morning that it's actually totally wrong, that it's not about the heart so much as about, it is about the works. It is about fruit. Jesus, God the Father, wants to see fruit. And while we recognize that we are not saved or we do not enter the kingdom by works, we do want to recognize, I want to remind you that it's by your works that we know if you're in the kingdom or not. Titus 3, verse 5 says, Titus chapter 3, verse 5, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. So it says, not by works that we have done are we saved. We don't enter into the kingdom by working hard and doing everything we can. We enter in by faith. However, it is about work. And then also in Philippians, or actually Ephesians 2, a very well-known scripture, it says verse 8 through 10. Actually, most of the people use just verse 8 and 9. It says, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. However, this passage doesn't stop there. It says, verse 10, it says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them, meaning good works. So this is the whole reason God gives us a new life, the whole reason he saves us, the whole reason he gives us a new heart, is because he wants to see good works. You know, I used the illustration of my wife planting some bulbs in her garden, maybe tulip bulbs or some other beautiful bulbs from a beautiful flower or something like that. It's not about those bulbs. She doesn't care about those bulbs that are in the ground. The only reason she puts those bulbs in the ground is because she wants to see beautiful flowers. She wants to see the fruit of that comes from those bulbs. And the same thing is true in our lives. As God saved our souls, He saved us for a purpose, not just for us to not just so we can go to heaven, or not just to save us so we can for our sake, so we can have what we want to have. But it's because He wants to see good works. And then it also makes it very clear here in verse 4: abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. So we have to make this very clear that it is by abiding in that vine that we can bring forth good work. Unless we abide in that vine, we cannot bring forth good work. And then it says, verse 2, it says, every branch in me that beareth fruit, he taketh, but that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. In other words, he prunes it, he trims it, and he takes off the bad spots and whatever, so that it may bring forth more fruit. He says, now you are clean through the word which I have spoken. He's speaking about one of the places it says, the washing of water by the word, cleansing us. But then he says, if he that abideth in me, verse 5, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. And again he says, for without me ye can do nothing. You know, sometimes we want to do the good works to prove that we're in the kingdom, but that's backwards. We cannot prove anything. We have to just abide in the vine. Even as a branch, all a branch can do is just abide in the vine. It gets all its nourishment from the vine. It gets all its life from the vine. It can do nothing of itself. It just hangs there and bears fruit. Even so is our life in Christ. Christ wants us just to abide in him and bear fruit. But he also says that if we do not bear fruit, we are cut off and cast away. So it is that fruit that comes from abiding in him, not something we can do ourselves. We can do nothing. Then in verse 7 he says, if ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. We talked about that briefly yesterday, about asking what we will and our prayers being answered. Here it says, it makes that a little clearer. It says, if ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will and it shall be done unto you. Makes it very clear that we cannot just expect to ask God whatever we will and he's going to answer our prayers. And even as it says in James, that we ask and receive not because we ask to consume it upon our own lust. Here it makes it very clear that it's only as we abide in him and his words abide in us. You know, if his word is in us and we are clean from within, we are washed by the water of the word. First of all, before we can come and ask God what we will and he will answer us, we need to have our motives washed. We need to have our thoughts clean. We need to have our hearts clean, that it takes away all the lusts and the selfish desires that are there. Then God can answer our prayers and give us whatever we ask. And then it says in verse 8 again, it is, herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. If ye bear fruit. Again, we cannot just bear fruit by ourselves, or think that we can, if we just do the works, that we are then his disciples. We must abide in that vine and get that life from that vine. Be washed in the water of the word. Then verse 9 through 11, I'm going to read. Let's go verse 9 first. Okay, I'll read all three of them. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. Interesting verse there in verse 9. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If we believe, according to the word of God here, according to Jesus' own words, that Jesus and the Father are one, and that Jesus is the express image of the Father, and he came to this earth to reveal the Father's heart to us, and that is the sole purpose, according to Hebrews chapter 1, we've talked about that other times, how he is the express image of the Father, And, and in these last days, God speaks to us through His Son and through His life, the life of His Son. So if we believe that, here in verse 9 it says, as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Jesus loves us as much as the Father loves us. And therefore, we can conclude that the Father loves us as much as He loves Jesus. Now, that may be a little hard for us to grasp, but this is the Word of God. God loves us as much as He loves Jesus, His Son. Let us walk in that love. It says, verse 10, if you keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love. Even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in His love. And again, that the word I would like to bring to your attention, that the meaning of that word keep is not the same as just doing it. You know, in the Old Testament, they were commanded to do this, do that, not do this, not do that. In the New Testament, we are commanded to keep His word. It's much deeper than just doing. Keeping is to hold His word or His commandments as precious, as valuable, as giving life, and to guard over it very carefully. It's like a shepherd's term, a shepherd keeping his sheep. He not only takes them out and feeds them and whatever, but he guards over them very carefully. They're precious to him. He makes sure that none is lost. Everyone is kept and nourished and is alive. And so we are to do with God's commandments. If we keep His commandments, if we hold His commandments precious and dear, and we guard over them carefully in our lives, then shall we abide in His love, even as He has kept His Father's commandments and abide in His love. So it says in verse 11, these things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. Now, these are not words of somebody that is under the law. The law cannot bring this joy. This joy is only by us keeping and holding precious His commandments and hanging to them as they are our life. And so we need to remember that is how we can have this joy, because it's not only in doing, but it's in keeping and in holding them dear. And so Jesus wants that His joy to remain in us. Now, He wants our joy to be full. Then verse 12, He says, this is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Verse 13 and 14, I'm going to read two. Greater love hath no man than that a man lay down his life for his friend. Ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you. There again, He's talking about us loving one another and fulfilling his word. This greater love has no man than he laid down his life for his friend. And here Jesus calls us in the next verses, then He calls us our friend, and he did lay down His life for us, and He is asking for us to lay down our lives for one another. Consider the other higher than ourselves. He says, verse 15, hence I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. Jesus calls us His friends. I think I will go on to verse 18. If the world hate you, you know that it had hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love his own. But because ye are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Here we see Jesus warning us again of the fact that the world will hate us. Now I'd like to ask the question. It says here, if you were of the world would love his own. And I'd like to ask you a question, maybe a little bit of a challenge, and to ask yourself, does the world love you? As you look around you, does the world love you? Are you being effective in the kingdom of God? If the world loves you, you have to ask yourself whether you're in the kingdom of God. And also in Timothy, I don't have that verse written down here, so I don't know exactly where it is, but in Timothy 1 place, Paul says that all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. And so we ought to ask ourselves, if we are not suffering some sort of persecution, we need to ask ourselves if we are living godly in Christ Jesus. Here it gives the same idea, that if we are of the world would love his own, but because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. We need to expect it. We need to expect to be hated. Because if we are not hated, then chances are we are closer to the world than we think. Verse 22, if I had not come unto you, he's talking about those that hate us, or the world, or whoever is not in him or in his kingdom. If I had not come and spoken unto them, they had not had sin. But now have they no cloak for their sin. He that hateth me hateth my Father also. And here we see the responsibility of having and knowing God's word. God says that if Jesus had not spoken his word to them, then they would have had no. Then they would have been had no sin. But now that he has spoken it, they know his word. Their sin remains. Then, in closing, I just want to look at verse 26, when he says, "But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send to you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me." Speaking of the Holy Spirit, that he will. Sent to us, or he has sent to us, and we will have some more of that tomorrow in chapter 16. So God bless you. Please read this scripture and search deeply. There is much deeper meaning here. Just encourage you to abide in that vine and to bring forth fruit.